first semester BA exam, November-December 2014. History 1, History of India. Page 144. Time 3 hours. Maximum marks 100. Section A. Mark on the outline map provided 5 centers of Jainism. Write a note on the contributions of Jainism. 1 into 10 marks. For answer, refer Model Paper 1, Section A. This is on page 3. Or, mark on the outline map provided following places. Write their historical importance. 1. Harappa. 2. Pataliputra. 3. Kannauj. 4. Mahabalipuram. 5. Sopara. Answer. Harappa. Refer Model Paper 1, Section A. That is page 5. Pataliputra. Refer Paper 2, Section A. 3. Kannauj. It is in Uttar Pradesh. It was the capital of Harsha. In 643 AD, a religious conference was held here under the patronage of Harsha. Page 145. 4. Mahabalipuram. For answer, refer Model Paper 1, Section A, that is page 5. And 5. Sopara. For answer, refer Model Paper 2, Section A, that is on page 55. So the places are marked on the map. They are Harappa, Kannauj, Pataliputra, Sopara and Mahabalipuram. Section B. Answer any three of the following. 3 into 15, 45 marks. Question 1. Explain the political, social and religious life of Rigvedic period. For answer, refer Evershine Model Paper 1, Section B, Question number 2. Only political, social and religious life to be mentioned. For answer, refer page 14. Question 2. Explain the administrative system of Mauryas. The Mauryan administration. Mauryan rulers provided an efficient system of administration. In the Mauryan period only, the whole country was politically integrated. Page 146. Kautilya's Arthashastra, Megasthenes' Indica and Ashoka's inscriptions throw light upon the administrative system of this period. 1. Central administration. Mauryans evolved a highly centralized administration with an elaborate bureaucratic machinery. Some historians opine that it was a constitutional monarchy characterized by a scheme of decentralization. The Mauryans were benevolent, dharmic monarchs. They did not believe in divine theory of kingship. The rulers strictly adhered to the principles laid down in Kautilya's Arthashastra. A. King. The king was the center of the Mauryan system of administration. He exercised extensive legislative, executive and judicial power. He was the head of the military forces and took part in important military operations along with his senapati. Kautilya enlists the following qualities of the king. He should be a person of high birth. He should hear to the old people. He should be religious and truthful. Should cherish high ideals. Should be enthusiastic, capable of controlling his subjects, and should be determined intellect. The king was also the guardian of law. His main duty was to protect the social order of Varnashrama Dharma. Kautilya prescribed 4.5 hours of sleep. The day of the Mauryan ruler was divided into 8 equal parts. During these parts, he would listen to the affairs of the citizens, make correspondence, superintend the military, and receive secret emissaries, etc. Thus, the king enjoyed extensive powers. However, there existed several limitations on his authority. They could not do whatever they pleased. They could not go against the laws of the country. They had to govern according to the customs of the land. Even the Mantri Parishad, appointed by the king to help him in the administration, must have exercised some checks on his authority. Page 147. The king was expected to keep the welfare of the people uppermost in his mind. B. Mantri Parishad. The Mauryan Empire was vast. it was not possible for the king to manage alone. To help him, there was a Mantri Parishad or Council of Ministers. According to Kautilya, sovereignty or Rajatva is possible only with assistance. A single wheel can never move. Hence, the king shall employ ministers and hear their opinions. The ministers were appointed by the king. Kautilya says, the king employs ministers who are born of high noble family, who possess good education, wisdom, purity of purpose, bravery, loyal feelings, good speech, skill and intelligence. The Mantri Parishad consisted of two types of ministers, the Mantris and the Amatyas. The Mantris can be considered as high ministers. They were selected from among the Amatyas. The Amatyas executed the policies and the works of the department. The size of the Mantri Parishad depended upon the needs of the empire. They were given very handsome salaries. The meetings of the Mantri Parishad were presided over by the king. The working of it was kept a secret. The king generally worked according to the advice of these bodies, but he was free to work according to his will and was not forced to accept it. There was also an Upasamiti in addition to this Parishad, which had generally three or four ministers. It was called Mantrina. The king called the Mantrina in the matters of emergency before calling a meeting with the whole Mantri Parishad. Thus, the Parishad acted as a check on the authority of the king. They could not make any grant without the consent of the council. The Parishad could even disregard the orders of the king if it appeared to be irrational and harmful to the state. Page 148. C. Bureaucracy. The king and the Mantri Parishad formulated the plans which were implemented by the bureaucracy. They were efficient civil servants and managed the affairs of the vast empire. For the convenience of administration, departments were made which were called Tirthas. There was one head for each department called Amatya. Every department had many sub-departments. Arthashastra mentions the following 18 departments. A. Mantri, B. Purohita, C. Senapati, D. Yuvaraja, E. Samahatri, Treasury Minister, F. Samahatri, Revenue Minister, G. Dauvarika, Mayor of the Palace, H. Antaravamsika, Head of the Bodyguards of the King, I. Nayaka, Responsible for the Management of the Army, J. Odeya, Governor of the Capital, K. Viharika, Chief Justice of Dharmastiya Court, J. Pradeshta, Amatya of Kantokoshadhana Court, M. Durgapala, looks after the management of the internal affairs of the forts in the empire, N. Dandapala, Army Officer, O. Antapala, Frontier Minister, P. Mantra Parishad Adhyaksha, President of the Council of Ministers, Q. Parastri, Prisons Ministers, and R. Karmantika, Minister of Mines and Manufacture. Page 149. 2. Provincial Administration. As the Mauryan Empire was very vast, it could not be governed from a single centre. For the sake of administrative convenience, the empire was divided into provinces called chakras. During the time of Ashoka, there existed 5 provinces with their capitals situated at Taxila, Ujjain, Patliputra, Suvarnanagari and Tosali. Each province was under the administration of a governor known as Kumaras or Viceroy. Generally, they were the members of royal family, especially the royal princes, so that they would get some experience in administration. Sometimes close and trusted friends of kings were also appointed. The provincial administration was almost similar to the central administration. The governors were assisted by the Mantri Parishad on the central pattern. They maintained law and order within his jurisdiction and collected taxes on behalf of the king. the governors have not enough freedom in their internal matter. 3. District administration. The provinces were further divided into districts. It was under an officer known as Sthaniks. They were responsible for the maintenance of law and order and collection of revenues. The Sthaniks were assisted by several other subordinate officials like Yuktas and Upayuktas. 4. Village administration. Village was the smallest unit of administration. It was headed by Gramika. He was also the Pradhan of the Gram Sabha, which was elected by the villagers. In addition to the Gramika, there was an official known as Gopa, who settled boundary disputes between various villages and other inter-village disputes. Gopa was appointed for 5 to 7 villages, who was superseded by Sthanika for 800 villages. Each village had several industrial guilds which looked after the development, production, growth of trade and commerce. Page 150. 5. City administration. The Mauryans possessed a highly developed urban administration. The official of the city was Nagrika or the mayor. Under him were Sthanika and Gopa. The accounts of Kautilya and Megasthenes provide information about the city administration. Megasthenes writes there was a Nagara Sabha or commission of 30 members, which was divided into 6 committees or boards of 5 members each for city administration. They were Shilpakala Samiti, looked after industries and handicrafts. The fixing of wages for employees and assuring the welfare and comforts of workers was its main duty. Vaideshika Samiti, entrusted with the work of providing proper facilities and accommodation to foreigners and visitors from other places. Jana Sankhya Samiti, responsible for the registration of births and deaths. Vanijya Samiti, concerned with trade and commerce. It regulated the sale of produce, weights and measures. Udyoga Samiti, conducted a regular inspection of the manufactured goods and the sale of commodities in the market in order to prevent the sale of adulterated food products. Kara Samiti, collected various taxes. 6. Judicial administration. The king was the fountainhead of justice. There were many courts of justice. The highest was the king's court, whose orders were absolute. The smallest was that of a village in which the Gramika settled cases with the help of the Grama Sabha. Over the village court, there were the courts of Sangrahana, Dronamukha, Sthania and the Janapada. There were the central courts of Pataliputra over the Janapada courts, which were superseded by the king's court. The king could discard the decision of all the lower courts. Justice was administered according to the well-established laws. Page 151. There were separate civil and criminal courts called as Dharmasthya and Kantaka Shodhana courts respectively. Dharmasthya courts, cases of marriage, succession, domestic matters, sale, purchase and defamation were decided here. It had 3 Dharmasthas who had complete knowledge of religion and 3 Amatyas also. Kantaka Shodhana courts looked into criminal cases. It protected state and people from antisocial elements who were thorns of the society. The heads of these courts were 3 in number and were called Pradeshtas. Hard punishments were given like death punishments, physical and financial penalties. Megasthenes says strict punishments were given. There were very few crimes. 7. Military administration. The Mauryas maintained a large army. For the purpose of administration, the army was controlled by a department of 30 members who formed 6 groups of 5 people each. Infantry, navy, cavalry, chariots, elephantry and army transport and management. Senapati was the highest official of the army. The soldiers were given many facilities, including high wages and medical facilities for the injured soldiers. Kautilya also considered forts as an important defense. 8. Police and Espionage System. These departments were established for the security and peace of the empire. The police were supposed to make people follow prescribed rules and arrest criminals. They were called Rakshitas. The Mauryans attached great importance to spies. They were regarded as the eyes and the ears of the king. There was a well-organized spy system which discovered crimes and revolt in the empire. A network of spies were established throughout the country, which kept the king informed about all the happenings in the empire and neighboring states. These spies kept a watch on princes, ministers, government servants. Page 152. There were spies who spied the spies. The spies were called charas. Both men and women, including prostitutes, were spies. The spies used cipher writing. 19. Revenue administration. The Mauryas provided an efficient system of revenue administration with a view to keep the treasury full. Treasury was regarded as the mouth of the king. Land revenue was the chief and the biggest source of income. 1/4 of the land produced was the share of the state. Sometimes 1/6 was collected. Other sources of income were taxes on sale of commodities, articles manufactured in towns, and those which were bought from outside the towns, excise duty on liquor, taxes imposed on mines, pearl fisheries, forests, roads, transport, water, gambling houses, tolls on ferries and bridges. Professional tax was also in vogue. The king received income from crown lands. Financial penalties imposed by the court was also income. In case of economic crisis, king could impose excessive taxes. Samaharta was the highest official of this department, under whom many like Shulka Daksha, Shutra Daksha, Mudra Daksha worked. Being a large empire, its expenditure was too much. The income was spent according to a fixed budget. The chief heads of expenditure were royal family, religious work, army defense, pays, allowances, education, transport, dana, irrigation, house building, and other socially useful work. Question 3. Give an account of the contribution of Guptas to literature, science, and art. For answer, refer Evershine Model Paper 2, question number 4 of section B. This is on page 75. Question 4. Explain art and architectural contributions of the Cholas. For answer, refer Evershine Model Paper 1, section B, question number 5, on page 29. Question 5. Explain life and teachings of Buddha. For answer, refer Evershine Model Paper 2, section B, question number 2, on page 67. Page 153. Section C. Answer any three of the following. 3 into 10, 30 marks. Question 1. Town planning of Indus Valley. For answer, refer Evershine Model Paper 1, section C, question 1, on page 35. Question 2. Kanishka. For answer, refer Evershine Model Paper 2, section C, question 4, on page 88. Question 3. Ashoka's Dhamma. For answer, refer Evershine Model Paper 2, section B, question 3, on page 72. Question 4. Pallava's Art. For answer, refer Evershine Model Paper 2, section C, question number 5, on page 92. Question 5. Sangam Age. The age of the Sangam is the age to which Sangam literature belonged. This age has been called as the Golden Age of Tamil culture. Sangam is a Sanskrit word which means association. It was a literary academy of scholars and poets who flourished for a time under the patronage of Pandya kings. It was a college or body or group of Tamil poets. According to Tamil tradition, there were three Sangams. The first Sangam was created when Agastya came from North India and settled down in Madurai. Saint Agastya was its president. It lasted for 4,440 years under the patronage of 89 Pandya kings. It was attended by gods and other legendary sages. This Sangam approved the works of 4,499 scholars whose works like Akativam Paripadal, Madunarai, Kalarai Virai are important. The second Sangam was established at Kapatapuram or Alovai by Agastya when the city of Madurai was submerged. It lasted for 3,700 years and was patronized by 59 Pandya kings. There were nearly 3,700 poets in this Sangam. The greatest work of this period was Tolkappiyam, the Tamil grammar written by Tolkappiyar. He was one of the disciples of Saint Agastya. The third Sangam was founded in present Madurai. It existed for 4,850 years and patronized by 49 Pandya kings. Page 154. Tiruvalluvar wrote Tirukural or Kural belonging to this period. The other important works are Silapadikaram and Mani Mekhalai, Padirupattu, Paripadal, Pattupattu, Ettutogai. These works have a lot of historical information about the Tamil people and their culture. Silapadikaram, the earliest of the epics, was written by Ilango Vadigal. It is a tragic story of a merchant Kovalan who fell in love with the dancer Madhavi and neglected his wife Kannagi. She revenges the death of her husband at the hands of the Pandya king and became a goddess. The Kannagi Pattini cult began with this, which is the worship of Kannagi as the ideal wife. Mani Mekhalai was written by Sattanar of Madurai. It is a story of Mani Mekhalai, the daughter of Kovalan and Madhavi of the earlier epic. The author describes about how Mani Mekhalai preserved and protected her chastity from Prince Uday Kumaran and became a Buddhist nun to preach its doctrines. Ettutogai consists of 8 anthologies. Is a collection of love poems. It consists of 2,282 poems written by more than 200 authors. Pattu Pattu or 10 Idyls are long poems. The poems contain verse lines varying from 100 to 782. The longest poem is Madurai Kanji, written by Mangudi Marudam. All these works of the Sangam period are classified into 2 groups, Agam and Puram. Agam or love deals with the internal or inner inspiration of which has been realized. Puram deals with the external, that is virtues of heroism, generosity, etc. On the basis of this Sangam literature itself, the early history of the Tamil kingdoms of Pandyas, Cholas and Cheras can be constructed. The Chola kingdom was bounded by river Pennar in the north and bordered Pandya territory in the south. Its capital was Uraiyur. Karikala was the greatest Chola ruler who established his rule over the whole of the Tamil country. He defeated a confederacy of about 11 kings in the Battle of Veni. He invaded Ceylon. He is described as a hero in many legends. He built the famous port of Kaveri Pattanam on the banks of Kaveri. Page 155. The rise of Pallavas led to the decline of the Chola power. They remained under their control till about the 9th century AD when Vijayalaya re-established the Chola power. The Chera kingdom was on the Malabar coast. The capital was Vanji. Nedunjural was the most important ruler. He conquered Kadambu and crushed his enemies in a naval fight. He conquered 7 kings and assumed the title of Adhiraja. The Cheras were in close contact with Cholas, whether as a peaceful neighbor or as a warring country. The Pandya kingdom occupied extreme south. Its capital was Madurai. Nedunjelayan was the most important ruler. He defeated the confederacy of the kings of Cheras, Cholas and 5 other kings in the Thayalanganam battle. He himself was a poet and a patron of scholars. Thus, to know the early history of Tamils, we have to depend on the Sangam literature. They provide a lot of information about the Tamil culture. Section D. Answer any three of the following. 3 multiplied by 5 equal to 15 marks. Question 1. Inscriptions. For answer, refer Evershine Model Paper 3, Section B, Question Number 1, Only Inscriptions, on page 103. 2. Nayanmars and Alwars. For answer, refer Evershine Model Paper 1, Section D, Question Number 5, on page 53, and Model Paper 3, Section D, Question Number 5, on page 142. Question 3. Religion of the Indus Valley Civilization. For answer, refer Evershine Model Paper 3, Section B, Question 2. Only Religious Life of Indus Valley, on page 113. Question 4. Second Urbanization. The Satapatha Brahmana describes the migration and settlement of people from the Saraswati to the middle Ganga Valley. Page 156. The Buddhist literature, particularly the Anguttara Nikaya, Panini's Ashtadhyayi, Arthashastra and Mahabharata throw light about this period. The Middle Ganga Valley was a comparatively new ecological situation for the settlers. The rice cultivation becoming the major agricultural activity could have supported a larger number of people. The Middle Ganga Valley had no uniform political system. Some Janapadas supported kings and others retained the Ganasangha system. In monarchy, the kingship was usually hereditary and in some cases elected. Kshatriyas ascended the throne, but in some cases the Brahmanas and the Shudras could become king. The republican states were called Ganas or Sanghas, or their work was performed in an open assembly had called Santagara. These republics did not mean the sovereignty for the people, but there was oligarchy and aristocracy. The Anguttara Nikaya lists the 16 Mahajanapadas, Kasi, Kosala, Anga, Magadha, the Vajji Confederation, Malla, Chedi, Vamsa or Vastu, Kuru, Panchala, Mastya, Surasena, Astamaka, Avanti, Gandhara, Kamboja. Apart from these 16 Mahajanapadas, there were some self-governing republics like Sakyas, Koliyas, Moriyas and Lichhavis. The valley of Ganga and Jamna were the main prop of political structure of the India of the 6th century BC. A study of political life tells that there was no unity among the petty states and they were engaged in strifes. Among other factors which led towards urbanization and gradual utilization of iron can be cited as an increasingly noticeable technological change. The importance of iron technology is not merely that it introduced a change in the use of metals, but that when the use of iron artifacts became more widespread, the pace of change accelerated as compared to other metal technologies. The growth of urban centers may also have been quicker in the middle Ganga Valley, since the nuclei of Ganasanghas were the settlements occupied by members of the Rajakula. Page 157. As they lived in nucleated groups rather than on their own lands, there was greater potential for the transition of such settlements into towns. The term Pura was often employed for towns and originally meant a fortified settlement or a locality. Fortifications were associated with political centers, which were either the residence of the Raja and his entourage or the families of the Rajakulas in the Ganasangha system. Nagara was the common term for a town, and Mahanagara used more frequently in the middle Ganga Valley was the city. There is a difference in the ethos of towns, which were primarily political centers such as Hastinapur, Indraprastha, Aich, Chhatra and Ayodhya, and those which combine political with commercial functions such as Saraswati, Kausambi, Vaishali and Rajgriha. Question 5. Gandhara art. For answer, refer Evershine Model Paper 1, Section D, Question number 3 on page 51. With this, we come to the end of the book, History of India.